What is up, everyone? I'm DJ Plague.
I'm DJ Meridian.
And you're here for episode 2 of the Flight Deck.
Yippee!
Welcome back. And today, we are going to be talking about the Lufthansa Group.
Yes.
So, just a quick overview of the episode. We're going to be talking about the Lufthansa Group, key facts about it, the history of it, its operations and network, financial and future challenges, and then at the end, we'll have a little moment for some fun facts.
Yup.
So, you ready to get right into it?
Jawohl.
All right. So, for those of you wondering, what is the Lufthansa Group? Let me answer that for you. The Lufthansa Group is a multinational conglomerate that specializes in passenger airlines, logistics, maintenance, repair, and overhaul, which in the episode we will refer to as MRO for simplicity, and in a smaller capacity, other industries such as software, insurance, flight training, and consulting. And what I would say is pretty special about this organization is that the airlines that they own and partially own operate with a strong focus on Central Europe, which is pretty interesting, I'd say.
Yep. I mean, they dominate the market.
Oh, yeah. All right. So let's get into some key facts about the airline. So its current fleet size is sitting at 911 aircraft, which is a lot. We'll break it down by Lufthansa, what they themselves own, and then what the respective subsidiaries own. Just as a quick note, the key subsidiaries within Lufthansa that we will be discussing is, of course, Lufthansa itself, which is the flagship airline, Lufthansa CityLine, which is the German regional airline, Lufthansa Cargo, which is the cargo carrier, Swiss International Airlines, which is the flag carrier of Switzerland, Austrian Airlines, the flag carrier of Austria, Brussels Airlines, the flag carrier of Belgium, Eurowings, the German low-cost carrier, Discover Airlines, the German leisure carrier, Edelweiss, the Swiss leisure carrier, and Air Dolomiti, the Italian regional carrier. Do you want to give a quick explanation on the difference between low-cost and leisure?
A low-cost carrier is a carrier that primarily specializes in offering a cheaper alternative to a mainline airline, usually on pretty well-established routes. Leisure carriers, they specialize in taking people to usually further off destinations. An example of a route that might be served by Discover Airlines is a Frankfurt to Orlando route or the Frankfurt to Tampa route. They also serve Frankfurt to Anchorage in the summer months. And the other difference is that usually leisure carriers also offer package holidays. So they're also built similarly to low-cost carriers in the scope of their operations, but they mainly focus on holiday destinations. Low-cost carriers is just general.
Wonderful. Thank you for that. So Lufthansa themselves, the various aircraft that they own include aircraft from Airbus, which includes the A320 family, so the A319, the A320, the A320neo, the A321, the A321neo, the A330, the A340-300, the A340-600, the A350, and the A380. The Boeing aircraft that they own include the 747-400, the 747-8, and the 787, and then future orders include the A320neo, the A321neo, the A350, the 777X, and the 787, which I believe, if I recall correctly, the 7350s are intended to replace the A340s?
The 787s and the A350s will jointly be replacing both the A340s and the A330s.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
All right. And then the various subsidiaries. Swiss owns A220s, A320s, A320neos, A321s, A321neos, A330s, A340s, which are being retired and replaced by A350s as well, and 777s. Austrian owns A320s, A320neos, A321s, 767s, 777s, 787s, and ERJ-195s. Brussels owns A319s, A320s, A320neos, and A330s. Eurowings owns A319s, A320s, A320neos, A321s, and A321neos. Discover owns the A320 and the A330. Edelweiss also owns A320s and A340s, which are also being retired and replaced by A350s.
Starting this year.
Air Dolomiti owns ERJ 190s and 195s. Lufthansa Cargo owns the 777F and the A321F. Lufthansa CityLine owns the A319, the A320, and the CRJ900. Now, something I have noticed in this pretty extensive list of aircraft that they own is they are a predominantly Airbus fleet.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Well, Airbus is a joint German-French company, so, and a significant portion of their production is in Germany. The A320s, the A320 family's main factory is in Hamburg. So it benefits Lufthansa to have a closer supplier. I will say, just to note, because I realized we didn't mention this, they have a lot more aircraft on order than just the ones that we mentioned for Lufthansa themselves. Also, Swiss was the launch customer for the A220, which is why it's a key kind of facet of their operations. And the Lufthansa group as a whole has, I believe, 40 737 MAXs on order that would be added to, I believe it was, Eurowings' fleet.
Nice.
So they will be even further diversifying this already relatively eclectic fleet in the near future. And I think that's wonderful.
Nice. All right, well, let's get a little bit more into kind of the history and evolution of Lufthansa. We're going to talk about its founding, kind of the birth of the group, and kind of the timeline that it followed with becoming what it is now.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, the growth through the challenges that it has faced over the years. So in 1926, we have the founding of the original company that later became Lufthansa, which is Deutsche Lufthansa. The origins of Lufthansa trace back to 1926, when Deutsche Lufthansa AG was founded through the forced merger of two of the two largest German airlines at the time. The name means German Hansa of the air, Hansa being the historic Hanseatic League, which was a medieval wartime trade network. In the 1930s, you know, Lufthansa expanded more with flights to both South America and the Middle East. And then we get into the 1940s, where World War II comes around, which impacted Lufthansa because Lufthansa was requisitioned by the Nazi regime and used for military purposes. The airline's civilian operations were suspended during this time, and the company's equipment was heavily damaged. Lufthansa, after World War II, was shut down. Yeah, it was shut down. That's the word I was looking for. But a company in Cologne named Lufttag was founded in its place in 1953, with a decent portion of the staff having worked for the old Lufthansa. They were able to purchase essentially the rights to the name and the logo of the old Lufthansa in 1954, and they started flights again in 1955 with some piston-powered airliners. Due to, you know, Germany being divided the way that it was after World War II, Lufthansa was prohibited from flying to any part of Berlin. So, with that, they established their Frankfurt hub in 1958. In the 1960s, Lufthansa's fleet grew rapidly with the addition of new jetliners, including the Boeing 707 and 727. With that, they began offering regular flights to North America, Asia, and other continents, and were also the launch customer of the Boeing 737. In the 70s, Lufthansa then continued to modernize their fleet and expand their reach. They introduced the 747 into their fleet in 1970, which dramatically increased their capacity on long-haul flights. And then in the 1980s, Lufthansa continued to grow, continued to expand into more international markets. And they also introduced services like Lufthansa Technik, who I had quite the honor to speak to during our recent career fair. I'm very happy about that. And they started providing maintenance, repair, and overhaul, again, MRO, services for other airlines. So, little more of a timeline of kind of the birth of the group. The group began to take shape in 1995 when Lufthansa Technik, Cargo, and Systems became independent companies under Lufthansa's umbrella. Lufthansa joined Star Alliance in May of 1997, Lufthansa then became fully privatized in October of 97, kickstarting a period of growth and acquisitions that resulted in the group that we know today. The group initially bought a stake in Air Dolomiti in 1999 and finalized the acquisition in 2003. The group started selling off Condor to the Thomas Cook Group in 2000. The group initially bought a stake in Eurowings in 2001 and finalized the acquisition in 2005. Hey, the year I was born. The group bought Swiss in 2005. Wow, again.
Mm-hmm.
I say this because my birthday's tomorrow.
Yippee. Yes, it is.
DHL and LH Cargo joined forces to found Aerologic in 2007. Swiss bought Edelweiss in 2008.
Yep.
The group bought Austrian in 2009. The group bought Brussels in 2009 as well. The group switched Eurowings from a regional to a low-cost model in 2015. Eurowings Discover was created in 2021 and was rebranded to Discover Airlines in 2023. And just recently, the group bought a 41% stake in ITA Airways, starting an acquisition process that will end with 100% ownership by 2033.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think will be interesting because they'll go from having Italy's regional carrier to also having the flag carriers. So I foresee that opening up a lot of opportunities for them.
Yep. I will also say I don't know if I would say the fortune, because I didn't necessarily have the best experience on them, but I have flown both Eurowings Discover and Discover. So I flew it shortly after its inception and also post rebrand. And I can say that it's still the same company. Not much has changed post rebrand other than that it is now a lot more pleasant looking. I really like their new colors.
Nice. Over the years, Lufthansa has faced various challenges. However, I think these challenges were able to make them stronger as a group and as an airline, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
From 2001 to 2005, they faced some economic challenges that also brought about growth. The early 2000s were, of course, marked by the 9/11 terrorist attacks, which did greatly affect the aviation industry as a whole. Lufthansa faced some financial difficulties during this time, but were able to adapt. The 2008 global financial crisis also hit the airline industry pretty hard, but thanks to Lufthansa's diversified operations, they were able to stay afloat throughout the crisis. And of course, a little more recently, we saw COVID-19, which also heavily impacted the airline industry. Lufthansa specifically faced some pretty heavy losses because of a decrease in travel demand over the course of COVID. In response, the airline did have to ground a lot of aircraft and reduce staff. However, the German government was able to provide financial aid to help keep Lufthansa afloat. And then going from 2021 and on, in their recovery from the impacts of COVID-19, they have been making a gradual recovery since 2021 as travel demand has slowly made a rebound, and they have been able to manage their staff and fleet to help it come out way stronger than before.
Yeah, and I mean, if you look at the staff numbers, they still have roughly 35,000 fewer staff members than pre-pandemic numbers. But on the flip side, they are still managing to move as many passengers and as many planes as they were prior. So I'd say that they've definitely optimized their operations. Speaking of the operations, talk about their network for a bit. They've got a pretty global reach. I can certainly attest to that, having spent many an hour walking through Frankfurt Airport and observing the long-haul flights there. The Lufthansa Group as a whole, they currently serve 310 destinations in Europe, Asia, Africa, North America, and South America. And they also have partnership and codeshare agreements with all 24 other airlines in the Star Alliance, plus 6 additional unaffiliated carriers. So this allows passengers who book through Lufthansa to pretty seamlessly connect to almost anywhere in the world across Star Alliance's network. Because even though, as you may have noticed, The Lufthansa Group doesn't actually serve the Australia, Australasia, Oceania region. They still have agreements through Star Alliance with a lot of carriers in Southeast Asia and in Oceania itself, such as Singapore Airlines, All Nippon Airlines in Japan, Asiana in South Korea, and Thai International Airlines in Thailand, and Air New Zealand. So even though their immediate network as the Lufthansa Group doesn't cover that area, their partners certainly do. In terms of the passenger experience, all of the Lufthansa Group airlines offer some form of premium service, whether that just be a premium economy or a simple business or what's known as a Euro business, or Swiss and Lufthansa being the only ones in the group to offer first-class services. These services are, of course, exclusively on long-haul operations on larger aircraft, such as, in Lufthansa's case, the A380 and the 747, and in Swiss's case, the 777 and the A330. The group operates an extensive network of lounges in their hubs and focus cities, and they even have an entire terminal dedicated to their first-class passengers in Frankfurt, which is quite something.
Really?
Yeah, it's an entire terminal. And they have, one of the things that terminal is known for is that they have special rubber duckies.
What?
Yeah.
They do?
Yeah, so they make a little, they have, every day has a different rubber duck, I believe it is. And when you fly through there, you can get that day's rubber duck.
I want a Lufthansa first class rubber ducky.
Okay, you're going to have to pay like $7,000 at least.
One day, people.
Lufthansa's first class service is also iconic for their fresh rose. Every seat gets a fresh rose.
I want a rose from Lufthansa.
Yeah. So now we're going to get into their financials and their future challenges. And I will say, to preface this, the Lufthansa Group's emphasis on premium services in a way does hurt some of their profits, because making sure that every first-class passenger gets a fresh rose and also providing new rubber duckies every day costs money. In terms of their financial health, last year the Lufthansa Group reported 37.5 billion euro, or $40.65 billion in revenue, with a net profit of 1.3 billion euros, or $1.4 billion. This is a very impressive recovery from the pandemic, as they reported only 13.5 billion euro, or $14.6 billion, in revenue, and a loss of 6.7 billion euros, or $7.3 billion in 2020. They were able to achieve this turnaround through cutting staff, reducing loss-making routes, and grounding aircraft, such as more fuel-burning aircraft like the A340 series, the 747, and the A380. They also received a temporary infusion of 3.8 billion euro, or $4.8 billion, from the German government, which they repaid in full in late 2021. As of right now, the main challenges that face the group are highly competitive low-cost carriers. Even though they do have their own low-cost carrier, it doesn't remove the fact that there are some very fierce competitors in the European market.
Could you note some of those competitors?
I think you know what I'm going to say. Ryanair, baby. And then EasyJet and Wizz within the European market. Vueling to a lesser extent, and Volotea. Also, on the long-haul market in terms of low-cost carriers, Norse Atlantic has certainly become a bit of a force to reckon with.
Really?
Yeah. I cannot buy a $450 round trip from Orlando to London and back with Lufthansa, but I absolutely can with Norse Atlantic.
Okay, that makes sense.
Other challenges include the volatile cost of fuel, because that cost goes up and down and around and around. There's also variable travel demand, which is certainly marked by the state of the economy. If the economy is not doing as well, people are less likely to want to travel. Aircraft delivery delays, specifically looking at Boeing, they've had a lot of issues with their production and their supply chain, which they have been working out, and they're almost done.
Because Boeing has been dealing with a series of safety and quality control issues, mm-hmm. which has impacted a lot of their productions and ability to get aircraft out to these various airlines.
Yep, and the most notable way that this is affecting Lufthansa is with the 777X, because Lufthansa is due to be the launch operator of the type next year. So we'll see how they can come through with that. Also, of course, with Airbus, there is very high demand for Airbus products right now for a multitude of reasons. And this has also resulted in a lot of delays, and people have to wait until even as far as 2036 to get new planes from them as of right now. So, yeah, Lufthansa really has to diversify their fleet in some ways just in order to sustain operations. Other main challenges are striking workers. Recently, there have been some pretty major issues in Europe, both with air traffic controllers striking and airport workers in Germany striking, which has paralyzed operations in some places for a day or two at a time. Obviously, I would argue these strikes are justified because these are pretty high-stress jobs, and people do deserve to be paid what their labor is worth.
I'd agree. The more I hear about the things that ATC and these various airport workers have to deal with, and then also comparing that, stress and labor demand to how much they're actually paid, I definitely don't think they are paid nearly as much as they should be.
Mm-hmm. Looking ahead, definitely expanding into emerging markets. A lot of places across the Middle East, the Indian subcontinent, as well as Southeast Asia, are starting to see much greater demand, both from tourists and from people local to those areas who are starting to become wealthier and are more able to afford travel.
I look forward to seeing how the group will be impacted by the full acquisition of ITA, as it is, as I said previously, the flag carrier of Italy, and not just the regionals, so that definitely opens them up to a lot more routes that they would not have otherwise had with Air Dolomiti.
Yeah, I mean, it will be interesting to see how they handle it. They have already had to cut some of ITA Airways' operations in Milan and Linate just in order to get the deal approved. So we will see how this kind of moves forward. I just hope that it doesn't result in cuts in service to airports I care about. Otherwise, they have been enhancing the personal travel experience. They've been improving their kind of digital tools available to the customer, especially with their app has been refreshed, and it has received awards for being one of the better looking travel apps in the industry. I have my gripes with this app because it takes a long time to load because it is so advanced, but in the end it is a very pleasing looking app to use. Also, of course, receiving new aircraft and new onboard products, they have introduced what's known as the Allegris program for Lufthansa, which includes a gorgeous new first class suite on the A350s, plus a fully revamped business, premium economy, and economy seat experience. Swiss also has a similar program called Swiss Senses. They'll be using the same seat designs but with different materials to better suit Swiss's brand image. They also look gorgeous. And, of course, sustainability initiatives such as using sustainable aviation fuel and biofuels. And they have a product called AeroShark that they're working with German chemical company BASF to implement, which mimics shark skin to better improve efficiency and reduce drag. It's really cool.
Nice.
And
that's pretty cool.
Yeah. they did a special paint job. Well, a special paint job, a little special shark decal on one of their freighters that they put AeroShark on.
That's amazing.
Yep.
All right. Well, you want to hear some fun facts about the Lufthansa Group?
Do you want to hear some fun facts?
I do.
All right. You want to kick it off?
Sure.
Yeah.
So, Lufthansa was the first airline to introduce in-flight Wi-Fi services all the way back in, you wouldn't believe what year.
I know what year it is.
2003.
Yep. This was done with Boeing. It was a special pilot project. I'm blanking on what it was called. It had a funky name, though. It was called, like, In-Flight Connects. And it was introduced on a 747-400.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Speaking of Wi-Fi, I was looking into some flights to fly home, and I found out that my flight home will have Wi-Fi if I pay $7.99 for it, but my flight back to Daytona will not have Wi-Fi on it whatsoever. And even if it did, I'd still have to pay for it. So that kind of sucks.
Yeah, such is life.
Such is life.
Yeah. Okay, so next one. Swiss International Airlines, frequently abbreviated to Swiss, as they like to be called, their Senator Lounge in Zurich, has a collection of over 100 varieties of whiskey in a bar known as 2810.
Fancy.
Yeah, it's very fancy. They've got some wildly expensive and exclusive whiskeys on the deck.
Nice. Brussels Airlines had to change their original logo from 13 dots to 14 dots because superstitious passengers complained about it.
Yep, Brussels Airlines' original logo was a B made out of 13 dots. And yeah, they evidently had some superstitious older passengers who got up in arms about it.
That's something.
Yep. Now, we've got this one. Austrian Airlines' planes all say Servus, which is the Austrian-German greeting, on the bottom of the fuselage. It's painted in big red letters.
Nice. Yep. I've never noticed that in all the pictures that I've seen of their planes, but then again, I've never seen pictures of the bottom of their planes.
This is a very recent change, so you might have not seen. Like, as in within the past 5-ish years.
Okay.
Yeah, so some of their older planes don't have it.
Okay, that makes sense.
And in a similar vein, Air Dolomiti puts Ad Astra on the bottom of their planes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking of Air Dolomiti, they used to name their planes after Italian operas.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. Well, Air Dolomiti is also the main sponsor of, well, they were a main sponsor of Verona's Opera House. So they have like, it's an open air kind of opera thing. It kind of looks like the Colosseum, and they used to sponsor it. And yeah, they named a handful of planes after operas, although they did stop this because they updated their branding. They also used to be a sponsor of Verona's soccer team, Hellas Verona FC.
Really?
Yep. So they had a plane with a decal for that too. But yeah.
Nice. Do you want to get into some of your, like, personal experiences?
Oh, boy.
The Lufthansa Group. Yeah, of course, I know that you have enough experiences on there that could probably be its own episode, but,
For the sake of time. So, the first time that I know of that I flew a Lufthansa Group airline was in 2011 when I flew Swiss. We connected in Zurich. They have a code share agreement with Helvetic Airways, and we flew on their A340s from Boston to Bari via Zurich, and that was a very fun experience. After that, we didn't really touch the Lufthansa Group much as a family until we moved to Germany, at which point I flew Air Dolomiti for the first and to date only time when I did a round trip from Munich to Bari and back on their Ember 195s. And I still remember this. They had these delicious muffin tops as an in-flight snack.
Ooh.
Yeah. Then we started flying them more regularly. We did back and forth from Munich to Philly. I've been on their A330s. I've been on their A340s, specifically the A340-600. And then, yeah, we flew a lot of their aircraft. We flew Austrian at one point, connecting through Vienna, which is a gorgeous airport. And then, otherwise, I've flown Swiss a handful of times. I do thoroughly enjoy Swiss, although I have a vendetta against their A330s because their economy seating options are very tight. And I am a tall boy by Swiss standards, somehow. I don't believe it, but either way. And then I've flown on Swiss's A220s, which are glorious. I've also flown on CityLine, Lufthansa CityLine, on their CRJs, which are hilarious. And also recently, I flew on Edelweiss, which was a fantastic experience. And this summer, I will finally be flying on a Lufthansa 747.
Nice.
That'll be from Washington to Frankfurt, and then I will be connecting onto Air Dolomiti, which is operating for Lufthansa CityLine from Frankfurt to Basel.
Interesting.
Pretty much at this point, Lufthansa is just using Air Dolomiti as a regional company, and they're just letting them keep their identity.
Fair.
Which is all right, I guess.
Yeah. All right. I think that about does it for both of us again. I'm DJ Plague.
So. I'm DJ Meridian.
And you've been listening to The Flight Deck.
Yippee.
And we will be back sometime in the future with another episode. On, you'll hear about it when we get there.
Yep, it'll be on a topic of your choosing.
Yes. And, yeah, that's all, folks. Have a sick day.